We found it a very useful interactive dialogue because there were lots of questions and lots of answers. And although, you know, we might not all agree with one another there, I think we exchanged information in a polite and useful way and tried to move on a little bit about what to do next. But it's the same old thing in some ways, that we're just trying to get closer to a ceasefire, the end of violence, and to do as much as we can to reach some accountability one day and some justice.
A lot have been done in these past 2 years, but how to reach this ceasefire in your view?
Well, all the parties who support the parties to the conflict have to influence their partners, as it were. And one of the things that we have been most outspoken about is not to have any more arms going into any side, because the more arms means the more violence and more Syrian civilians who really get hurt by what's happening now.
I would like you to talk a little bit about this situation of the civilians, not only that are in Syria, but outside Syria, from the last report of the commission.
Well, I think you hear a lot about that from the other humanitarian agencies, especially the refugee agencies and OCHA, about the 1.6 million refugees that are outside. We always like to emphasize from our point of view, because we're interviewing many of those refugees, that's where we're getting our information, is also the effect that this is having on the neighboring countries and the difficulties it's creating for them, because these are many resource-poor countries. They're countries without sufficient water, without jobs for people, and so on. So that is important that we are reminded of this and that we're thinking about the many regional ramifications of this conflict. We also like to emphasize the people inside who aren't always mentioned, because we talk about the displaced, we talk about the refugees, but we even talk about some of the parts of the country that are under siege, some of the towns and villages, but there are millions of people who are just simply there and not living the same kind of life they were used to in Syria. Now, you've seen the reports on the devaluation of the Syrian pound, and it's getting seriously worse over this past week, and it just means people are going to suffer more in their everyday life.
I've read some reports and some news talking about the refugees in Jordan. Most of them were from middle class in Syria. Is that something that you confirm in the report? The situation of the refugees from Syria are a little bit different from other parts of the world.
You know, yes, middle class may miss some of the amenities that they don't have any longer, but everybody who's a refugee is suffering from not being at home and wanting to go back home. And that's the first wish of every refugee. And you'll see that among all the groups there. No matter how little you had back home, it's better than being a refugee. Jordan at least has some camps, however inadequate they are. In Lebanon, there aren't any camps, and people are just having to make their way. In Turkey, there are very good camps, but that doesn't mean people are happy. The one place we've seen refugees that are somewhat satisfied are the Kurdish refugees who've gone into Iraq, because there they have been able to find jobs and put their children in school right away. So although they're in the same kind of camp situation, which isn't very pleasant, they're saying we have no complaints, which is 30 years in refugee work. I haven't heard that very often.
Well, any other comments that you'd like to make from your visit to New York?
Just that we want to keep the issues on the table of getting to a negotiation, an inclusive negotiation, getting to a ceasefire at least, like stopping the violence somehow and stopping those arms going in and stopping the extremism that is growing because of more and more people coming to fight in Syria from somewhere else.